Welcome to a Junior VC Unfiltered. I'm your host, Chetan, and I have here with me Shiraz, Shelly, Sanya, and Bhumika. In this episode, we will discuss our latest piece, Will Boat Ride the D2C Wave to Unicorndom? The first question is to Shiraz. Shiraz, can you tell us why the team chose to write about boat and what makes it an interesting story?
Yeah, sure thing, Chetan. So I think, you know, there's a lot of reasons why we were excited about covering this company. You know, the first is that we've historically talked about a lot of internet companies, a lot of software companies, but this is the first time we are doing a piece on hardware and a hardware company based in India, which is just exciting in terms of a new type of company to analyze and go deep on. The second, as the team will go into, is this extremely impressive community that Boat has built. And it's something that we're trying to do at AGVC as well. So it's really a North Star for us as we try to build our community. And then finally, you know, we love companies that take a contrarian view of the world and execute on them. I think anyone who would have looked at the audio hardware market in India 3 or 4 years ago would have said, it's too competitive, not worth getting into. But the Boat founders, they found a niche and they executed on it to perfection, which is always great to see. So I'll let the team go into it in detail, but that's sort of the high level.
Thanks, Shiraz, for that. So Shelly, can you talk us through the early days of Boat and what problems were they really trying to solve and how did they go about it?
Yeah, sure, Chetan. So even before I start talking about Boat, I would like to talk about co-founder Aman, his background. Aman had been working for his family business in electronics since 2007. He worked there for 3 years, did his MBA. Then he quit his job and pursue his fascination for gadgets and electronics. He actually contacted JBL and eventually got a job there. So he looked after the distribution, offline distribution of their products for Croma and Reliance Digital Stores. This was in 2013. Now, 2014 was an interesting time when Indian e-commerce was gaining a lot of global traction as well. Smartphone sales were on the rise. And these tailwinds sort of helped Aman in ideating his products in audio space. So for Boat, especially Boat was idealized, I think, initiated in 2014. But the first product that they had launched was in 2016. Coming to their first product, they actually started with launching sturdy cables for iPhone chargers because people were facing a lot of problems in getting these damaged very early. So that's how they started their business. Eventually, for launching their first audio product, they did research for about 2 years. Was Indian consumer. So, like I said, in 2014, since there was a lot of outside competition also coming in, like Chinese competitors were coming in, then there were some global players also coming in. What really helped Boat stand out was the key focus on Indian consumer. So, like their first headphone called Bass Heads was basically heavy on bass due to the sheer insight that Indian customers like punchy and groovy sounds. So soon they, after launching this product, I think they have continuously been evolving. For example, their latest insight was on how people are using sports earphones and headphones with sports. So they are kind of mixing things up. And then recently they have entered into the wearable markets as well. Coming to what has been their strategy throughout, apart from the focus on Indian consumers, is that they actively discourage themselves from engaging into a price war. So like Samir says that they are sort of Zara of electronics. So they lie somewhere in terms of pricing from mid-range to close to premium, but definitely not comparable to an Apple or other premium brands. Secondly, India is having its D2C moment now in 2020, when there are over 500 D2C brands all over India. Boat had gone D2C back in 2016, maybe due to the fact that they did not have a lot to spend on the marketing part then. They started their first ad on Facebook so that they could have a direct line of connect with the customers. Customers could comment their pain points and they could address them. So that is how they have been building it, building an online first business, which is which now they are looking into moving into offline. But I think online has been working pretty well for them. So I think, Lee's story is this with regards to Boat. I think.
Thanks, Shelly, for those insights. Being the Zara of headphones is a great insight. And it is definitely very tough to maintain that. So it seems like Boat was able to grow at an incredible rate once they achieved product market fit. Sanya, could you tell us what aspects of their marketing strategy and business model really helped them to do this?
Sure, Chetan. So Chetan, just building on what Shelly just said, that it was initially built for Indian consumers. When we look at the broader market, both the marketing and the operational strategy that the board adopted, both the marketing and the business model will of course feed into each other. Because if you look at it, India ranks second when it comes to the number of internet users, but it ranks 142nd when it comes to the GDP. Now, taking this complex market, creating a lifestyle brand at an affordable price points and making it profitable is something uniquely commendable. How Boat did this was, of course, bundled with a unique marketing strategy. And since they are profitable, they couldn't, and initially also they didn't have a lot of cash flows to spend on blast marketing. So they instead adopted a very unique marketing approach, which has multiple pillars, but two that really stand out are one, the way they built their community in what Shiraz mentioned in the beginning. They really knew how to maintain and direct connect with the consumer. They created this feeling of belonging within the Boat community and called them Boatheads. They also inspired people to join the community by bringing in homegrown talents. The front page was Hardik Pandya, Karthik Aryan, who are the homegrown talents that people really aspire with or respect to. This way, they were able to create, right now the count is 2 million plus Boatheads, which is, again, as I said, truly commendable. The second pillar of their unique marketing strategy is the way they drove their partnerships. They have been very good in terms of being at the forefront of what is trending. And hence, they adopted this approach to partner with trending events or banners like IPL, Sunburn, Masaba. And they come up with exclusive lines for each of these events. For example, they have exclusive line with Masaba, which directly connects with customers who are under their umbrella. Is done to really ignite the growth. When we talk about the business model, we see that how this effective, high ROI, high efficient into the business model. That's why they're profitable. We see that they went from selling 6,000 units per day in FY18 to today, which is 15,000 units per day, which is again a very hockey stick growth. More importantly, what is intriguing about the business model is the way they have managed to trend up their AOV. So their AOV was trending at around 500 rupees back in FY18, and it's up 2.5x to 1300 rupees. This unlocks a couple of great insights about their business model. One, as Shelly mentioned, they started with launching a cheaper cheaper product range, which included the earphones, which included the cables, and so on and so forth. As the years passed, they started adding the higher price range products like speakers, headphones, and so on. And what the AOV jump establishes is that people went ahead and bought the higher price range products, which means they stuck with the brand for very long. So it says that one, the strategy of incrementing the price points in smaller steps work. And second, if you are able to create that trust within that brand, which is what they did by their effective marketing engine, you are able to create that sticky customer base, which will give you the higher AOV, and hence you just are not playing on volumes and shelling discounts. So I think these are few of the levers through which Boat was able to truly create a 700 crore revenue at what they are today.
Thanks, Anya. Thanks for throwing light on their marketing engine and their business model. So building a community, having small incremental price increases, and building good event partnerships seems like what worked for them. Going over to Bhumika, could you tell us how does Boat compare against competition, and what does the future sort of look like for the company?
Sure, Chetan. So if you ask any headphone connoisseur, they'll spill some of these big names, you know, Sennheiser, Bose, Jabra, JBL, Audio Technica, Skullcandy. So the large players are aplenty. So let's take a little detour and see, try to map out how they got there. You'll notice that not all of these corporations are dedicated audio device companies. Some of these had been, you know, around for more than half a decade and stuff. They stood the test of time because a lot of their products, you know, were at the cutting edge at the time, and they came out to be exceptional. So they progressed from bulky and not very comfortable over the year designs, and finally to lightweight aesthetic in-ear designs with silicone buds to result in a better fit and things like that. So the latest shape-shifting trend was moving to wireless, and more recently, fully wireless earbuds. So in this race, you know, to make the slimmest smartphone and the fastest, add the fastest processors, a lot of phone manufacturers started doing away with the 2.5 millimeter headphone jack. And a lot of them started releasing their own truly wireless earbuds line. And now the rest of the world has been set on this path to this truly wireless future. So initially, truly wireless devices came with like a very hefty price tag, but with advancements in technology, it got cheaper to make better sounding and less bulky devices. And while COVID-19 disrupted the supply chain, the demand for headphones in general increased, with work from home becoming like pretty much normal and translating to the fact that everybody had now to plug into their own devices to carry on day-to-day tasks. So this new demand did not diminish the customers' expectations for advanced features in any way. So manufacturers keep upping their game when it came to software as well. And with the rise of Siri and Alexa and all the others, everybody wanted to stay on the cutting edge. But on the absolute cutting edge, earphones were becoming the next big do-it-all wearable. Companies wanted their products to monitor body vitals and basically become the next smartwatch. So in the midst of all this, there was one trend to be noticed. The original titans were the ones running after this one earphone to conquer it all model. They had a grip on most of the global market. So they were spending most of their R&D efforts on advancing features. The new players were spotting issues with the current things in the market and trying to understand what the consumer wanted. Multinationals, their products didn't pack enough diversity to appeal to each region's population in the same way. So this is also why we noticed that a big number of new players were local companies producing for a specific demographic. And which region was gearing up for the next billion users? Asia. So picking India specifically, looking at the consumer state of mind, would tell us that earphones were just not just accessories that came in your phone's box anymore. They were a part of your work, your workouts, and your entertainment. So, and multinational companies' products were expensive because of the added taxes. Like one would have to shell out 15 to 30K to get their hands on Sony's XM4 or Bose's QuietComfort. So in a market that is price conservative and thrives on big billion days and Amazon Prime Day sales, this number was not very reasonable for the average customer. So And this is something that Xiaomi, Realme, Zebronix had begun to address. Now, Boat stood out here because its products carried a personality, I mean, of their own. So they were targeted to be flaunted by the independent millennial. And soon enough, they conquered approximately 1/5 of the true wireless stereo market in India. And the economics wasn't a zero-sum game yet. There was a large number of first-time customers still, you know, to be acquired. So there was room for everyone to grow. And the reason why Boat was winning was they had focused on building a strong community, which was their moat. So their income crossed 700 crores in fiscal year 20, and they bagged the $100 million investment in early 2021, which took their valuation to just shy of $250 million. So a thing to be noted here is that Boat is among the very small number of Indian hardware startups that have been able to raise such an amount in the first place. So needless to add that the future looks very bright for Boat. They've been unstoppable since their inception. They've beaten their own expectations of yearly projected revenues. They've already become the fifth largest wearable brand globally. And the founder, majority of the manufacturing usually moved to India and their distribution to global. So, accessibility to like the best in class audio features in India, and they now want to do the same across the world. And it's probably a good time to remind you that they've been operating only for 4 years, and so far, so it's safe to say that they're only getting started.
What an incredible journey. Thanks, Bhumika, for giving us those insights. Looks like Boat is about to eat the Indian audio space. Thank you so much, folks, for tuning in to a Junior VC Unfiltered. If you have any feedback, do drop it in the comments below. We hope you enjoyed this episode. Click on the subscribe button to stay tuned for more. This is your host, Chetan, signing off. See you again next week. Thank you.